morning, everyone. How lovely to see you all, and especially all of you. And I know that you're taking the first part of the service, and I'm so excited because I don't know what you're going to do. It's going to be great fun. Just dropping that in just now. I have one or two intimations. You know what I mean. Holy Communion this morning, as you can see clearly, and this afternoon at 3 o'clock in Bank Hall, we will celebrate Holy Communion again. The Jigsaw children, this marks the end of their term, end of the year, I suppose, and they'll be having lunch and games in the hall until 2 o'clock, and then they're on holiday until the 18th of August. There's a garden tidy-up planned for Tuesday morning at 9:45. Is that this Tuesday? Can I just clarify? Yes, this Tuesday. Excellent, thank you. This Tuesday at 9:45. I think most of the other intimations are clearly printed there for you. I have one letter to share a wee bit with you. It's from the Provincial Grand Lodge of Lanarkshire Upper Ward. A letter thanking me and all the members of St. Paul's Church most sincerely on behalf of the brethren for allowing them to hold their annual divine service here on the 2nd of June. That was last Sunday. So just thought I would share that with everyone. So what I forgot to do last week, and I'm glad one person got the message even though I didn't say it, is it's Pentecost this week. And I meant to encourage you all to wear red. So I'm giving you advance notice for next year. When it comes to Pentecost 2020, please come wearing red. That is the color of Pentecost. So I thought rather than just telling you, I would do it. So the Pentecost is such a special celebration in our church. It's probably the biggest celebration. We celebrate the Holy Spirit coming amongst the church, and in some views, the birthday of the church. So we are here to worship God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God is love, and we are all his beloved children. We can only love one another because God first loved us, and his perfect love drives out all fear. So let's do our usual reading of the psalm. Today's psalm is selected verses from Psalm 104, and they'll be on the screen. How many are your works, Lord? In wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. There is the sea, vast and spacious, teeming with creatures beyond number, living things both large and small. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. He who looks at the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. May my meditation be pleasing to him as I rejoice in the Lord. Amen. So our hymn before the children take over is number 600, Spirit of God, Unseen as the Wind.
Thank you.
Just before I hand over, is anybody going to admit to having a birthday? There's one person, Miriam. Miriam had her birthday last week, and Margaret had her birthday last week. Margaret lives in Singapore, but it's wonderful that she's here in Forth today. And yes, a birthday, and a little bit more than just a birthday, because it is also Tom and Margaret's 40th wedding anniversary. Absolutely wonderful. Shall we sing happy birthday to all three of our birthday girls?
Funny faces. But the princess didn't laugh. Some of them came and told jokes. You definitely forgot the mic. What's your joke? Did we hear about the magic tractor? No, we didn't hear about the magic tractor. He turned into a field. Ha ha ha! Turned into a field. Well, we got that, but the princess didn't laugh. Someone even tried to tickle her. But still, the princess did not laugh. Now in that country, there was a very, very poor boy called Billy. Billy lived way out in the country, and he was very poor, but oh, he loved the princess. And he wanted to travel to the castle to try and make the princess laugh. So he set off. He'd walked for quite a long time when he met an old man. He helped the old man to pick up some sticks. And as his reward, the old man gave him a golden goose. So Billy set off to the castle with the golden goose. But he began to get a bit tired of carrying the goose, and he tried to put it down, but he couldn't. He was stuck to it. He tried to shake it off. He tried tried to throw it off. He tried to wriggle it off, but he was absolutely stuck. Some boys saw him and came to help him. They tried to pull the goose off, and they got stuck. They wriggled and they pulled, but they were stuck. So they had to join on with Billy as he went on. Now, when the next row, we've got two rows on his way. As he was passing, some other boys tried to pull him, but they got stuck, and they went on their way. And then they met some more children, and they tried to pull Billy off the duck. Or as a chicken, or as a goose, whatever it is, a goose. A goose. And they got stuck. So they went further along, all stuck in a big, long line. And every child they passed tried to pull Billy off, but they couldn't. And at the end, when they got to the castle, there was a great big jumble of people stuck to the goose. And the princess thought this was the funniest thing she'd ever seen, and she burst out laughing. And as soon as the princess laughed, the spell was broken and everybody fell down. Billy married the princess, and they lived happily ever after with lots and lots of laughter. Will you quickly go back? That was very good. Back you go. That story. It's all about all these people that got stuck. They got stuck to Billy as he made his journey to the palace. And that's a bit like us today, because today is Pentecost. And that's when the disciples first got the Holy Spirit, and they were sent out to get other people to join them in finding out about Jesus' love. That's a bit like us, because we don't have Billy, we have Mrs. McCrainer, Elspeth. So there's what we'd like to come out to the front. Because you see, what happens is, Elspeth tells us all about Jesus' love. And the jigsaw leaders, they hear that, and they join Elspeth on the journey to find out about Jesus' love. And then the jigsaw leaders, they go to the jigsaw, and they get the jigsaw children, and the jigsaw children, they join on. They all join on as they journey towards finding out about Jesus' love. They all join on. And when the children get bigger, they go to the breakfast club and they join on. This is really cool. They join on to find out about Jesus' love. And when they go to the church, they find all the people.
Let us pray. Thank you, God, for all the people who help us on our journey to find Jesus, people who have helped us discover Jesus' love and his teaching. Thank you for the people who have taught us to say the prayer Jesus gave us. So let us say it together now. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We will now drop hands and join in together to sing "Jesus' Love is Truly Wonderful." as a wee token of our appreciation to the children and the young people for coming to Jigsaw and Breakfast Club, we're going to present them with a wee book. Lewis Sloan.
Well done. Thank you.
Aaron Sloan.
Well done, thank you.
Ruby Sampson.
Well done, thank you.
Ewan Allison. Jennifer Orr. Andrew Storer. Katie Storer. Caroline Orr. Rory Allison. Ewan McFarland. Jack McFarland. Callan Mains. Kyle Ferguson. Rowan Harris and Eva, who are not with us today, but they'll get their book. Now for the young people of the Breakfast Club, Nicole Armstrong, Heather Schinkler, Blair Hannah, Ross Ferguson, and Natasha Armstrong. Thank you.
So, of course, we couldn't be finished without saying a wee thank you to our wonderful leaders of Jigsaw. So I wonder if some of the children would like to come out and help me present buckets to the different children. We've got some lovely flowers here. So, shall we? Who would like to give the first one? Come on, then. Out you come. So, I think the first ones go to Lynn. Okay, can you manage to give those to Lynn? Thank you very much. And the second ones go to Aileen. And the next ones go to, is Grace not here? All right, Jane. Give them to Jane. And although she's had a presentation as part of the Breakfast Club, I think Natasha's also a helper. So Rory, Kyle rather, would you like to give this along with Ruby to Natasha? Well done. And the other one, which was for Grace, but I'm sure she can get it. But I think we'll give it to Christine, because she does a huge amount. But so what a wonderful message the Jigsaw have given us. And I'm privileged that they see me as the beginning of that chain of handing on the story of Jesus. It is the most wonderful story, and it's just a joy to be here. And I'm so, so fortunate to have a fantastic team of leaders and a wonderful team of youngsters. You got something to say, Jack? Or are you just holding your hand up? Okay. Thought you were going to keep me right about something. So I think a huge round of applause once more for all the youngsters, and then they can go and have their party. And we'll let you head off to your party. Today being Pentecost, it also marks the last day of the Thy Kingdom Come prayer initiative that we've been involved with a little bit. A week or two ago, I suggested to you all that you might like to try and say the Lord's Prayer at 12 noon every day. I wonder if anybody's remembered to do that. You'll notice that even my hand's not going up. I suddenly remembered about it yesterday. So next year we're going to be far more on the ball because I might not come back from holiday. But because I'm conscious that when the children go out, there's always this quietness in the church. And I was looking through the Thy Kingdom Come have been producing a video every day. And I think, was it yesterday or the day before, they produced this one, and I think it's a fascinating story, and I'll tell you a wee bit more about it. So let's sit and watch and listen to this video. Just 3.5 minutes, I think.
I first encountered the word silence when I was reading The Rule of Life, the community of St. Anselm. It's not something I had paid any attention to, because all along for me in prayer, I used to understand prayer as a way to talk to God, and that involved saying words.
There were two points this year where we could have gone on the silent retreat, and I waited until the later retreat because I wasn't ready at first. And it took me a little bit longer than some of my other brothers and sisters to really feel safe in silence.
So when I arrived in the community of St. Anselm and we said we will have some lot of time of silence, it was not a surprise for me, and it was not difficult for me because I'm a quiet person and I really enjoy to be in silence. I think it's very important if you want to know God.
The retreat was unlike anything I'd ever experienced before. There was no performance, there was no Alta Ellis on show, there was no on at all. It was just the rawness of where I was at. I think it's the closest I've ever felt to being the person that I think God would meant me to be, like being really close to that person. And it was a really beautiful experience to be able to meet God in that place and to see more of who I could be in that place.
I have to go to L'Arche, London, for my charity, so I go twice a week. And L'Arche London is a Christian community where people with and without disabilities live together. And I have to face an imposed silence there because some residents are mute. I discovered the silence is not only the absence of noise, of sound. It can be a discipline to communicate with other people and with God.
Silence to me means being available to God, and so to me being in silence presents me an opportunity to come before God and offer Him my heart and let Him speak to me. That's what silence means to me. I feel like it's now a more clearer way for me to have a one-on-one intimacy with God, and I actually think it's something I've grown to love, and I think I might be enjoying more silence than I ever thought I would.
God is like inviting me to stop my activity, to spend more time with him and to deepen my faith and reading the Bible and reflecting on my days. And is it this way how the silence works for me?
For people who are going into silence or those who want to experience silence, you have to really be attentive. And attentive does not mean blocking out things popping into your mind as you are in silence, because that is how God is actually talking to you.
It was almost like I met Jesus at the cross for the first time. It was almost like I found out about the crucifixion for the first time. Even now, I can't put into words what it was and what it meant to me to meet Jesus in that way and how it changed my heart and my faith and my identity in who I am and who he is. And it was everything.
That was filmed in the community of St. Anselm, which was only founded in 2015 by the Archbishop of Canterbury, the Most Reverend Justin Welby. And since it was started, so that's just 4 years ago, over 100 young people from different Christian denominations have been part of the community from many countries around the world. I think the age ranges from something like 21 to 35. And people go there and spend a whole year. So it's almost like being in a monastery or a convent for a year. And this is what Justin Welby said about it. I started the community of St. Anselm to give young people a profound experience of prayer, service, and living in community. It has been a transformative experience for those who've taken part and for those of us praying, living and working alongside the community. As many of you know, I have a great love of silence, and it's the core of my faith is spending time in silence before God. I'm delighted that we now have a small meditation group meeting every Saturday morning, including a lady from Lanark who regularly comes, and on Friday evenings at my prayer meeting, which has been going on for about 18 months now, I've recently had two of the teenagers come and join me, and they are just quite amazed at experiencing silent prayer. They volunteered to do 20 minutes on Friday, which is the longest we've ever done together. There's a lovely reading in Revelation. When the Lamb opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. And a quotation from Mother Teresa of Calcutta. We need to find God, and he cannot be found in noise and restlessness. God is the friend of silence. So let's now observe a couple of minutes of silent prayer. Loving, living God, In the silence, send your spirit among us. And in the silence, we pray for Sarah Ann Brown, who's in hospital after a serious fall. Lord, we pray for her pain to be controlled and her healing. And we pray for all the family and friends of Richard Steventon, who died suddenly of a heart attack and whose funeral is on Wednesday, just 3 months after his wife's funeral. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Amen. Our Bible readings are going to be read for us today by Laura Jane. The first one is from Acts chapter 2, the story of Pentecost. And then our gospel reading is John 14, verses 8 to 17.
Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 21. The Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It is only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Our gospel reading is John chapter 14, reading verses 8 to 17. Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I've been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father, and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe in me when I say, I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask for me anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Amen, and may God add his blessing to this reading of his holy word.
Elders who are The hymn before the sermon is a new hymn that we've been learning, so I'll ask Audrey to start playing the music through as the elders who are going to be serving communion come out to the front, and then we'll sing the chorus and the first verse, and depending how we get on with that, I might just say the next two verses, and then we'll sing the chorus together again. But if the singing goes really well, we'll sing the whole thing. But it is a slightly tricky tune. So, Audrey.
Oh,
Let us pray. Lord, may the questions on our lips and the wonderings of our hearts lead us to a deeper trust in you, our maker, mender, and muse. Amen. Enabled by the Spirit. Our first hymn today, Spirit of God, unseen as the wind, reminded us that we cannot see the Holy Spirit any more than we can see the wind or see love. Yet what we can see are the effects. I wonder how many of you have ever seen a young dog rescued by a dog rescue society, treated, made fit and healthy, and then rehomed to a loving, caring and family. If you have, you'll know exactly what I mean about seeing love through its effects as that wee dog is transformed. Or what about a gale blowing? We cannot see the wind, but we can see the trees bending over, bins and rubbish flying down the street, and trampolines flying out of gardens. And the same is true of the Holy Spirit, which enables us to be more than we ever expected. In our reading from Acts, we heard about the dramatic effects of the Spirit. Tongues of fire, the sound of the wind, and the sudden ability of the disciples to speak different languages. And for me, personally, I've always thought that one of the most dramatic signs is the transformation of Peter. From a bumbling fisherman who was always putting his foot in his mouth, suddenly he becomes a powerful preacher. So powerful that 3,000 people accepted the message and were baptized in one day. See, Peter was enabled by the Spirit to be far more than he ever expected. The description of Pentecost in John's Gospel is much quieter and more subtle. As Jesus tells his followers, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father." So the effects, the visible signs of the enabling Spirit are going to be dramatic. Many years ago, I heard stories of people being dramatically filled with the Spirit, of them falling down and behaving strangely, what was known at the time as the Toronto Blessing, and stories of invalids standing up and walking from their wheelchairs. And I prayed and prayed to have a similarly dramatic experience, but it never happened. But over the years, I've realized a few things. Firstly, in order to be filled by the Spirit, we have to first be empty. Secondly, in order to be filled by the Spirit, we have to be willing to be filled by the Spirit. For God is love, and love never forces. And thirdly, to be filled by the Spirit, we have to be patient, because it's often a very slow and gradual process. So first of all, if anything, including us, is to be filled, it or we first have to be emptied. I've got a glass here that's almost full of water. If I tried to pour an equivalent amount of water into it, it would just overflow all over the place, wouldn't it? And the same goes for us. But what does it mean to be empty? First of all, I fully admit that I don't think any of us can achieve full emptiness during our lives here on earth. But I'll give you an example of someone who I believe emptied himself. And he was mentioned, well, his organization were mentioned in that video clip. Jean Vanier, who died earlier this year, aged 90. After the war, and as a result of some of his experience, he gave the rest of his life to not simply caring for people with disabilities, but to living with them, worshipping with them, eating, drinking, learning from them, living and dying with his L'Arche family. A few years ago, I was fortunate enough to attend a meeting where Jean Vanier spoke, and I'll never forget it. He's a very tall man. At that time, he was slightly stooped with age, with the most amazing smile and sharp, twinkly eyes. He walked into a room full of people and just leant casually against a table, dressed in slightly scruffy cord trousers and a woolen jumper with holes in it. And he spoke gently, with such wisdom and humor that everyone in the room was transfixed for about an hour, and he never used a single note or piece of paper. He was truly filled by the Spirit. But speaking to a member of the L'Arche community later, she told me that they get frustrated with Jean because they keep buying him new sweaters. But he simply gives them away because he's sure somebody else needs them more than him. Jean Vanier had emptied himself of everything except God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, he's clearly an extreme example, but I hope that gives you a little taste of what I mean by emptying ourselves. My second point is that in order to be filled with the Spirit, even just a little bit, we have to be open and willing to accept the enabling Spirit. And much like love, the Spirit can be wonderful, and it can also be very painful. And we are always changed by the experience. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth." I read recently about a minister called Steve Shogren, who started a church in Cincinnati, Ohio, and this church grew rapidly to an average attendance of over 7,000. So I thought, what's his secret? Their motto is, "Small things done with great love are changing the world." Everyone in that church goes out into their community and tries to do lots of little things with a huge amount of love. A little bit as I challenged all of our congregation to do during Lent when we did the 40 acts of kindness. I wonder if we remembered to do that any better than we remembered to pray the Lord's Prayer at midday. I did a few, but I don't know that I got up to 40. We need to be open to the Spirit's prompting and do these little things, and not just during Lent, but all year round. Because when we empty ourselves and allow the Spirit to enter into our hearts, the Spirit will enable fruit to grow in our lives. Now, this is probably not going to be as dramatic as tongues of fire or as Jean Vanier's life. But when we start to see love, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control growing in our lives and in our neighbors' lives, then we know that the Spirit is around and is enabling us to be far more than we ever expected. And my third point is that changes are usually slow and gradual. I happened to come across, and this was just yesterday morning, a reading from St. Basil the Great, who lived roughly between 330 and 379 AD, so he's been dead a long while. And he was writing about the Holy Spirit and came up with a very different analogy to the usual one of the Spirit being like wind. This is what he wrote. like the sunshine, which permeates all the atmosphere, spreading over land and sea, and yet is enjoyed by each person as though it were for him alone. So the Spirit pours forth his grace in full measure, sufficient for all, and yet is present as though exclusively to everyone who can receive him. To all creatures that share in him, he gives a delight limited only by their own nature, not by his ability to give. And he went on, as clear, transparent substances become very bright when sunshine falls on them and shine with a new radiance, so also souls in whom the Spirit dwells and who are enlightened by the Spirit become spiritual themselves and a source of grace for others. The analogy with sunshine. Guess what? It's midday. Shall we say the Lord's Prayer together? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So I'm remembering now. This analogy with sunshine made me think of how we watch things grow in the garden and how the Spirit changing us is a bit like a flower opening in the sunshine. It's a slow and gradual and gentle process. So as we come now with joy as God's beloved children to share in Holy Communion, I pray that we will allow ourselves to be enabled by the Spirit to grow even a tiny bit more like Jesus this Pentecost. Amen. And we continue with the giving of our offerings. Let us pray. Loving, living God, for the many, many gifts you have given us, not least your Son and the Holy Spirit, we give you our thanks. And with grateful hearts, we are here today to worship you, to give these our offerings, and to invite your Spirit to enable us to be better examples of your life in this world. Lord, receive all our offerings and our lives and use them for the growth of your kingdom here and forth and throughout the world. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. I come with joy, a child of God. Hymn 656 is our hymn leading into Holy Communion. What we do here, we do because it is Jesus' will. For he it was who once in an upstairs room sat at a meal with his disciples. During the meal, he took bread, and when he had blessed it, he broke it and said to his disciples, "This is my body. It is given for you. Do this to remember me." Later in the meal, he took a cup of wine, and after he had given thanks, he said, "In this cup is the new relationship with God, made possible because of my death. Drink it, all of you, to remember me." So we will do as Jesus did. We take this bread and this wine, the produce of the earth and the work of human hands, through which Jesus has promised to make himself known. And as he said a prayer before sharing, let us follow his example. The Lord be with you, and also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give God thanks and praise. It is right to praise you, for you are the one from whom we came and the one to whom we will return. You conceived the universe, wove the world together, and hold all life in your hand. You watch us waking or sleeping. You keep every tear that we shed. You hear every prayer we make. You know both our best and our worst, and you will not let us go. So with rain, wind, and sunshine, with all that moves in time with its maker, we praise you. With angels and archangels, with the saints from long ago, with our loved ones who are gathered around your heavenly table, we praise you. With the church throughout the world, Orthodox and Lutheran, Catholic and Reformed, all who love Jesus and honor his name, we praise you, singing the hymn of your everlasting glory. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Yes, blessed is he who was born among us incognito, who grew up without privilege or status, who walked the way to heaven through the back streets of this world, who told the deepest truths in ordinary language, who touched and healed, blessed and disturbed without fear or favor, who showed inclusive love in all its unconditional glory, who for all this was crucified, died, and was buried, who for all this and for all of us rose again, who, though high in heaven, is present with us here and now. Blessed is he in all his love and beauty, God beyond holiness. As we do what Jesus did, let your spirit move among us to settle on this bread and this wine, that they become for us the body and blood of Christ. And let that same spirit stir our souls so that as we share this sacrament, we may recognize our Lord and receive him, that he may be in us and we in him forever. Amen. Among friends gathered around a table, Jesus took bread. And when he had blessed it, he broke it and said, "Take this and eat it. It is my body. It is given for you. Do this. Remember me." Later in the meal, he took the cup of wine. And when he had given thanks, he said, "In this cup is the new relationship with God made possible because of my death. Take this, all of you, to remember me." To the one who is unseen and who promised to be with us to the end of the world, keeps his promise in this bread. The one whose unseen spirit descended on his disciples with startling power embraces us in this cup, the gifts of God for the family of God. As the elements are distributed, please note that the bread that is wrapped in a cloth on the plate is gluten-free, so please help yourself to that if you need to. And I would invite you all, if you wish, to hold on to your piece of bread and think about what it symbolizes, and then we will all eat together. And similarly, when you have your cup of wine, hold on to it, think about what it symbolizes, and then we will drink together. Body of Christ given for us. The blood of Christ poured out for us. The angels said it to startled shepherds, and Jesus said it to frightened followers. And now these words which come from heaven are shared to make us whole and make us one. Peace be with you.
And also with you.
Let's briefly share the peace. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Oh. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Oh, he's gone. Peace be with you. So go now. We have all been fed. We have all shared the living bread. We've been grafted to the vine. We have tasted heaven's new wine. Let's go now. We have been blessed. Jesus calls each of us his guest. He knows our name and says we're wanted. And in our lives, God's seed has planted. Go now and go in Christ's own peace. And in our going, let's not cease to love ourselves. We are God's treasure. And love the world. It is God's pleasure. And love the Lord in greatest measure. Amen. Our closing hymn, number 622, we sing a love that sets all people free. So as we go out into the week ahead, may we all open ourselves to be enabled by the Spirit to be more than we ever expected. And may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us all today and forevermore.
Amen.